take my plans, write them down, so I can read them. A place where I can bid my heart be still, and it will mind me. A place where I can go when I am lost, and there I'll find.
Good morning and welcome to First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, FPC to our members and friends, a welcoming spiritual community. My name is Tricia Gooditz and I serve on the worship committee. Our minister is the Reverend Cindy Landrum. If this is your first time with us, we welcome you. We invite you to check out our webpage, fpcstoweacton.org, for news and information. You can also sign up here for our newsletter and email alerts called FPC Announce, and for our email forum, the FPC Forum. The signups are at fpc-stowe-acton.org/subscribe-newsletters. Now let us come together in the spirit of worship.
So good morning, everyone. Happy Labor Day weekend. I'm Sonia Freneau, the head of the Grounds Committee here at FPC. Although I'm representing the grounds committee by myself, I would never have had the courage to take on the challenge of putting together a service without the support of my team, Trish Woods, Bill Froberg, and Phil Mosley. So it is my honor to call us to worship with these words by Jess Reynolds. Grounding. On my worst days, it is gravity I am most grateful for, the way the earth pulls at me from her core. Yearns for me, keeps me pressed tightly against her surface. When my own core is hollowed out, when I have no more mass than a leaf dead on the branch, still this is enough for the earth to find me. She reaches for what little I have to have and says, stay. Every meditation I have ever done begins by asking me to ground myself. This is not so much an action as an inaction, surrender, a voluntary abandonment of my own edges and tidy packaging. Sit with me now. Press the soles of your feet back into the ground you sprang from. Feel the weight of your body and know that it is glorious. You are born of soil and sun, and all the heaviness of the earth is a call to you. The earth is reaching for you. Reach back. Reach back. So I'm going to light the chalice this morning with these words from Rumi. Very little grows on a jagged rock. Be grounded. Be crumbled so wildflowers will spring up from where you are. So I am very excited for you to hear this recording of Paul and Rodriguez singing the garden song for our opening song. When I first heard it, I smiled the whole way through. The words are in your order of service if you'd like to sing along.
Is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, please bless these seeds I sow. Please warm them from the bow till the rain comes tumbling down. Pulling weeds and picking stones, man is made of dreams and bones. Time is close at hand. Rain, cold rain, sun and rain, fire. roll. Gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, please bless these seeds I sow. Please warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down. Plant your rows straight and long, temper them with prayer and song. Mother Earth will make you strong if you give her love and care. Old Crow watching hungrily from his perch in yonder tree. In my garden I'm as free as that feathered peep up there. Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, please bless these seeds I sow. Please warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down. Inch by inch, row by row, gotta make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, please bless these seeds I sow. Please warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Very good. So I'd love for everyone to join us in our covenant and affirmation. Our covenant. Love is the spirit of this church and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
From all that dwell below the skies, let words of love and peace arise. Let joyful songs of praise be sung through every land, by every
So for the message of all ages, I'm going to just share my screen here. I have my sister-in-law, Sandy, to thank for reminding me of this book. Sorry, for reminding me of this book that we have shared in service before. The book is called Have You Filled a Bucket Today by Carol McLeod and illustrated by David Messing. I'm going to start with this book, but then take it in a different direction specific to our topic. All day long, everyone in the whole wide world walks around carrying an invisible bucket. You can't see it, but it's there. You have a bucket. Each member of your family has a bucket. Your grandparents, friends, and neighbors all have buckets. Everyone carries an invisible bucket. Your bucket has one purpose only. Its purpose is to hold your good thoughts and feelings about yourself. You feel happy and good when your bucket is full, and you feel sad and lonely when your bucket is empty. Other people feel the same way too. They're happy when their buckets are full, and they're sad when their buckets are empty. It's great to have a full bucket, and this is how it works. Other people can fill your bucket, and you can fill theirs. You can fill your own bucket, too. So how do I fill a bucket? Now, the book very nicely goes on and talks about how you can fill other people's buckets and how, as a bucket filler, and how other people can take away from your bucket as bucket dippers. What I want to focus in on is that second to last sentence about how you can fill your own bucket. So what are some ways that you can fill your own bucket? One, you can be kind to yourself. You can say nice things to yourself like, hey, I did really well on that test. You can listen to how things feel in your body. This feels good. This feels right. You're going to find that you have a lot of internal voices and a lot of internal feelings. Some of them might be bucket dipper type of critical thoughts, like that's stupid. You should do X. Kind of critical thoughts inside. You're also going to have supportive type bucket filler items that come up within yourself. Awesome. Or if you're having a challenge, how can I do this differently?
Unmute, please. That was a tube.
Someone's not on mute. But you can also have internal voices that might say, hey, this is fun. But that critical, but if you are having fun running through a grocery store, maybe a critical voice of not too fast is actually a good thing from a perspective of having you slow down so that you don't bump into somebody or you don't slip. Or my favorite, there might be a voice in your head saying moderation, like, hey, and that might be actually a good thing when you're voice inside of you is saying, I love ice cream and I want to eat this whole pint. The reality is I want you to focus on what are helpful voices within yourself from a perspective. They come from a very centered voice that balances critical and supportive voices within you. They're centered, they fit, they feel right, and that is what I would like you to engage in. So engage in what fills your bucket. And respect the things that feel good to you, the things that feel like they would help you. So that's the message for all ages. Coming into our meditation, I want to focus on our silent meditation today on what grounds you and fills your bucket. So here is something that I'm asking you to take a leap of faith with me, okay? So what I'm going to be doing is going to stir up your brain with all sorts of different questions, and then we're going to take a silent period for you to sort of think about what grounds you and fills your internal bucket. So when looking at, what grounds you, there are lots of ways. And Jesse Reynolds, he's talking about that surrender, that inaction that happens from a perspective of maybe even just being in a place or just letting go. And that is how you can kind of connect and be grounded. You can also ground yourself with interaction, being with somebody that really fills you and feeds you from a perspective of how you feel when you're with that person or interacting with that animal or interacting with anything. You also get it from action. We're doing something with your hands, or I find a lot of people who run have that feeling when they run. They're like, oh, that just like grounds me in a way that like if they don't run on a particular day, that they just don't feel right in their body. There's also reaction. I find this happens a lot with art or music, and the fact that when you hear it, it sort of lays over you and your body reacts to that. It pulls some emotion or out of you. So I want you to sort of think about, for example, what places ground you when you sit in them, whether it's somewhere in nature, whether it's somewhere in your house or somewhere in your mind. I want you to think about, you know, what sounds ground you, whether it's a particular artist you love to hear, and I'm honoring our ukulele people with a famous ukulelist, or it could be just even the flutter of hummingbird wings. It could be, you know, but don't judge. It could be the hum of lights. I know for myself, the smell of oil paint, for some reason, makes me very calm. I think it's because my grandmother, you know, kitchen used to have this very heavy oil paint in the kitchen. And the smell of that just reminds me of being in the kitchen with my grandmother. It could be silence. It could be, you know, wind chimes. What activities might center you? Doing things with your hands, of course, gardening or, you know, fixing something, right? Doing the lawn or, you know, as I mentioned, some type of exercise or reading, or even again, not judging yourself. Could be doing dishes. It could be, you know, doing something very simple. What type of interactions with people or pets, right? Friends, neighbors. So now we're going to take a quiet few minutes meditation, and I want you to focus on what grounds you. And then I want you to, once you kind of have the picture of what things ground you, I want to start asking yourself why. I hope that time reaffirmed or helped you discover or rediscover some things that speak to you and why they speak to you. As I shift over to our Avatori music, I'm going to ask Tricia to tell you how Avatori works.
This month we share our weekly offering with Bridges to Malawi, the Dawgeed Village Project, and Shiro's Hangout. And there's various ways that you can donate to FPC. Everything will be in the chat box. You can send a check to First Parish Church. You can donate by text to 978-310-3309, or you can donate online. And all that information will be in the chat box.
Thanks, Tricia. Now, our hymn for Avatori is I've Got Peace Like a River. In the order of service, it's talking about peace, then love, then joy. In this recording, we do peace, then joy, then love. Okay, so the verses are actually number one, number three, and then number two, just so that you know. But you can also follow along on the screen in front of you if that's more helpful.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul.
So for our readings, I have two poems. The first is a poem by Theodore Rothke called The Waking. The Waking. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I feel my fate and what I cannot fear. I learn by going where I have to go. We think by feeling. What is there to know? I hear my being dance from ear to ear. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Of those so close beside me, which are you? God bless the ground. I shall walk softly there and learn by going where I have to go. Light takes the tree, but who can tell us how? The lowly worm climbs up a winding stair. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Great nature has another thing to do to you and me, so take the lively air and lovely learn by going where to go. The shaking keeps me steady. I should know. What falls away is always and is near. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I learn by going where I have to go. How I Go to the Woods by Mary Oliver. Ordinarily, I go to the woods alone, with not a single friend, for they are all smilers and talkers and therefore unsuitable. I don't really want to be witnessed talking to the catbirds or hugging the old black oak tree. I have my way of praying, as you no doubt have yours. Besides, when I am alone, I can become invisible. I can sit on the top of a dune as motionless as an uprise of weeds until the foxes run by unconcerned. I can hear the almost unhearable sound of the roses singing. If you have ever gone to the woods with me, I must love you very much. Thus ends the readings. By this time, a lot of you are probably wondering how me being the head of the grounds committee has anything to do with being grounded as a person or the summer service theme of passion. It all ties, but you'll have to understand a little of my own personal journey and the lessons I have learned about finding my own center before my passionate mission for our grounds will make any sense. Let's first define being grounded. According to author Michael Daniels in his book, Shadow Self Spirit, groundedness refers to, quote, a sense of being fully embodied, whole, centered, and balanced in ourselves and our relationships, end quote. It's also a deeper connection to our authentic self. He further explains that groundedness is associated, quote, with an experience of clarity, wholeness, rightness, and harmony, end quote. Now, something about passion. At 23, I had taken a job doing dinner theater in the middle of Pennsylvania. I knew it was going to be the last of my over 10-year singing career when a fellow performer verbally expressed such passion, absolute passion, about what we were doing. It was obvious that she didn't care if she was sweeping the stage. She was going to be doing dinner theater or being around the theater for the rest of her life. I had none of that passion. Instead, I realized staring at the fields of corn in the middle of there, of nowhere, Pennsylvania, it was less than passion for me. Every action of it was emptying my bucket. And I knew it had been for a long time. So my journey. The poem The Waking by Theodore Rothke talks about the process of waking to sleep. I found this poem in 9th grade. Its images and duality mirrored for me my struggle, and I read it often. To me, Rothke was talking about trudging through your day. At the same time, he wondered at such beautiful things and asked such wonderful questions. I hear it still today as a hopeful message, an invitation. The words transform from have to and fate to being his being dancing from ear to ear. He invited me to notice things. He writes, quote, great nature has another thing to do to you and me. So take the lively air and lovely learn by going where to go. So not to do anything by halves. I hope that made my family laugh. With the encouragement of my now husband, I dropped or changed everything that was depleting me. I got myself an everyday job and started asking some questions. Around that time, I remember buying this locket. It became special to me as it was the first thing in years that came from my inner voice. I liked it. I don't know why. I had no idea then or now. I never desired to put anything in it, never have. But having the locket was my first drop in my bucket. So began 20 plus years of self-discovery, figuring out what I liked, what I wanted out of life, what made me happy, and how I fundamentally worked. Instead of continuing to tell you my story about all the things I discovered about myself, I want to share what I learned and continue to learn through that discovery, in the hopes that it might be helpful in your journey of finding out what grounds you and what fills your soul. So, 11 items. First, try stuff. I learned as much or more information from finding out what I didn't like. I tried all sorts of things, from indoor skydiving to kayaking, did jobs from art publishing to software sales. Life has so many choices, it helped me to interact with things to learn what my inner self gravitated towards. Second, don't question it, just leap. This is where the faith comes in, faith in yourself. If I stopped to think and not just do, I would likely have a very, very different life. Leaping was significant in my journey because it made my inner voice feel like it mattered. It's not being right. I had to recognize it's the practice of listening to that voice that is the important part. I needed to listen to my voice thousands of times to learn what it was saying. Next, it won't be one thing. I kept thinking I was going to be passionate about one thing. There are obviously unique individuals out there that are all in on one thing. But for me, I had to learn and accept it was many things and a balance of many things. Number four, you don't have to be good. It just needs to feel good. I think because I was encouraged to do singing, because I was good at it, I came to the assumption as a kid that you didn't do things that you weren't good at. So when I started asking the questions, this was a revelation. I have my friend Janina to thanks for this. We took a sculpting class in Cambridge. I was dutifully following the instructor and really doing well in the class, but I kept looking over at her and she wasn't making much progress in creating the forms. On the way home one night, I asked her how she was liking the class and she stated, "I just love the feel of the clay. I like it all smooth, rubbing my hands all over it." It blew my mind. She wasn't trying to be good. She just liked it. That became a turning point. It actually searching for things that I liked, following the feeling rather than the quality. Number five, don't overlook what you already have in place. Your inner voice will find what it needs in the everyday. I have a friend who finds peace vacuuming. My mom is grounded when she cooks. Look for them. Don't change them by adding weight to it. I made that mistake. Just be more present with them. Being more present with them made it easier for me to find more because I could feel how that felt and then look to recognize that in other things. Which brings me to my next item. Always ask why. Why do I like this? Why don't I like this? Why does this feel good? Why does this not feel good? Lean Six Sigma has an exercise called the five whys to try and help determine root cause. I find it is just as effective when learning about myself. This is why during our meditation, I asked you to question why. Talking to myself helped me, quote, learn by going. Next, be open to others about what feeds you and is difficult for you. My mom told me as a kid, if you ever don't want to do something or go somewhere, just tell them I said you couldn't. It made it super easy, and my introverted self was grateful for it. But as I grew older, not speaking my truth physically hurt. There is a healing in being able to say, I need a quiet Saturday to offset my crazy week and have it be accepted. I gained valuable friendships by verbalizing. A shared permission can enable wonderful and unique relationships. For example, I love going to the movies, but I like lighthearted films, preferably Star Trek. Sounds simple, but being honest can be the difference between feeding your bucket or overextending yourself, even if you both decide to see some dramatic film. Number 8, trust yourself enough not to give up. I started digging around in my yard and wanting to have gardens from the moment we signed the mortgage. I asked my mother-in-law for a wheelbarrow for a housewarming gift. Not a lie. I am not ashamed to admit, even as the head of the grounds committee, I was bad at it. Really bad. I killed more plants than I saved. I hired 2 different designers for a lot of money to try to help me design stuff. And I hated what we came up with. It just didn't feel right. But I didn't give up. I realized I had a vision, a feeling that I was looking for from my yard about what I wanted. And professionals couldn't read my mind. So I began to do it myself and found what speaks to me about gardening, and found what plants could commune with me and actually live. Number 9, what feels right changes. My wardrobe, for one, has been a fascinating exploration, for example, from wearing brown all the time to the rainbow I wear now. What I learned about myself through martial arts also changed until it no longer fed me. To quote Rothke again, what falls away is always and is near. The color brown and karate, and even singing for that matter, are all under the ground I stand on now. This applies to people too. Relationships change. Some people will not be able to change with or accept you. I had to learn to be okay with that. People will surprise you, however. I found most were more than willing to accept new truths, even when they revealed my previous sleepwalking. Surround yourself with people who will help your discovery. Really seek out whose very presence feels right. This applies to more than just your friends. For example, I once gave a man I hardly knew a ride across town to help him run an errand. Leap of faith, remember. We were halfway there when he asked why I was willing to help him out. I just told him, you seem at peace with yourself, and I wanted the opportunity to sit in the car with you, sharing my truth. After realizing I was not being creepy, he was flattered. Did he tell me anything enlightening? No. His presence was the revelation. It spoke to a restless feeling inside of me, made me realize there were different states of being alternative than my own inner churn. I could slow down. I could find my own speed. Last and most important, learn from, do not ignore your inner and outer critics. When I found my career 15 plus years ago, I used to joke that when I committed to finding something I was passionate about in Pennsylvania, I thought it would be grander, saving the whales or something. But underneath that joke was a judgment. I was bringing judgment to the thing that I did because in my brain, it sounded stupid, not important enough. Learning to interact with those voices is a big part of the journey. For myself, the Tao Te Ching's message that things are not good or bad, they just are, help me to not qualify and just accept. Also, the revelation that defensiveness on my part usually indicated my voice trying to tell me something. Eventually, when the internal justifying defensiveness or charged emotion quieted, I could state my truth as if I was saying, I have two ears. I like lukewarm water. I just do. I like hot water. Just plain. Just do. Even when my great aunt Lucienne spent an entire bridal shower trying to put lemon or sugar in it, it still was, I just like hot water. And that was absolutely freeing. So this is what I have learned thus far. Mary Oliver in her poem, How I Go to the Woods, communicates all this more eloquently than I could ever hope. In the poem, she tells how she grounds herself every day in nature, doesn't question herself when she talks to catbirds or hugs trees, hears but does not give way to her critical voices, internal as well as external. Most importantly, she understands how she grounds herself. Quote, when I am alone, I can become invisible. I can sit on the top of the dune as motionless as an uprise of weeds until the foxes run by unconcerned. I can hear the almost unhearable sound of the roses singing. Mary Oliver found her sacred, and if she chose to share it, it was to those she loved very much. So for those of my friends and family that are joining us today, know that I love you very much. This church is a sacred space for me. It feeds me and grounds me. When I first came about 10 years ago, I would just cry in the pew. It took me years. Took me years to join coffee hour and years more to become more involved. But it welcomed me. I knew I forgot something. Tissue would have been good. Okay, so. But it welcomed me by handing me a tissue with no words. As you can see, I often forget them. And gave acceptance when I spoke my truth about not wanting to be in the choir. Encouraged garden design that feeds me, and so much more. First Parish Church, as a Unitarian Universalist welcoming congregation, is my sanctuary. Yet because of COVID, our sanctuary is closed. Which finally brings me to our new Grounds Committee program. When I became the head of the Grounds Committee, I did so reluctantly because I'm not good at process things or being consistent. The maintenance of the grounds definitely requires both. It was a leap, listening to that voice inside, an intuition said to me, you need to try this. You need to stretch yourself. So last year, in addition to regular stuff, the committee, Bill Froberg, Bill Mosley, Trish Woods, and myself, as a team came up with a plan to drum up more consistent process help with the property. And then COVID came, canceling spring cleanup and putting us all on Zoom together. But to my surprise, people kept coming in their cars to listen from the parking lot or just sit in the courtyard garden. The place is important to many of us, including me, especially me. I picked this church because of the welcoming nature of the sanctuary itself. The quilts on the wall and the warm wooden pews felt right even before I was greeted or heard the service. We can't open our sanctuary in times like this, but we can extend the welcoming mission of the connector and the courtyard garden to the rest of our grounds. The Grounds Committee's new program, Grounded in Faith, is an ask and an opportunity for you. The ask is very simple. Walk our property. If you walk our property, you will discover each area has a voice. The people on the Memorial Garden Committee learned this recently. I now invite you to walk the property as well. See if one of the gardens or areas needing care speaks to you. A secluded spot, a cluttered shed, a rotten piece of wood, a bench that needs oil. The program's purpose is to provide opportunities for this congregation to engage in activities that you find grounding. For me, with the help and energy of more of our community, we can create a series of places for people to sit in solitude or commune in social distance to listen to our worship, engage in small group ministry, or just sit and be grounded by the outward reflection of our church values on its grounds. I know that vision will take time, but I also know it cannot happen without more voices from this community. With four pairs of hands and limited budget, we need more people seeking the sacred through action. So if working with your hands and or creating spaces like I envision speaks to you, the grounds committee and I would love to welcome your energy and your voice and even your, I'll give it a try. Regardless of your interest in our new program, I wish you a fabulous, messy, laugh till it hurts, heart-wrenching, out of control, awe-filled journey of discovery on what feeds you and gives your soul the ground it needs to grow. Like Rumi said in our chalice lighting, you may need to crumble a little before the wildflowers can grow. I encourage you as much as I do myself. Your voice is unique and wonderful and worth it. Take the leap and dare to be. May it be so. So I invite you now to join together in our closing hymn, which fittingly is a metaphor on sailing life with wonder, with questions, and importantly, together.
to the waves upholding me. Hail the great winds urging me on. Greet the infinite sea before me. Sing the sky my sailor's song. I was born upon the fathoms. Never harbor or port have I known. The wide universe is the ocean I travel. And the earth is my blue boat home. The wide universe is the ocean I travel. And the earth is my blue boat home.
Myself, I was singing really loud. So my closing words of benediction, it seemed fitting to bookend our opening with another quote from Rumi. He states, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." Please join us in our sung benediction written in your order of service.
Peace be with you till we meet again.